1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here on the Thursday edition of the program. Who wins on Sunday? That's the big question. We have an answer. Super Bowl preview coming up in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Troy Macker. He does betting at the Bent River Sportsbook. We talk with him about the best lines for this weekend, his amazing career in sports betting, and so much more. It's a great interview. And it comes up near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Today's show is brought to you by State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt is ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Call Ryan today at 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. There's only two types of people in this world. Ones who play with nothing to lose and who never worry about losing their legacy, their fan base, their fame. And others who play desperately worried, who are arrogant and cocky and do whatever they can to just stay on top. You know people like that, right? I do. And I think that accurately describes what we're going to see in the Super Bowl this weekend. There's one quarterback with everything on the line. If he loses, he'll never be the GOAT. He'll never be considered as great as the other. The other one has already been there. He's done that. If he loses, it doesn't matter. He already has 6 Super Bowls. The story itself of him leaving his old team to come to a new one and lead them to the Super Bowl in his first year, that's good enough. That's more than enough for him. Of course, I'm talking about Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady. Tom Brady has nothing to lose this weekend. Despite what the media wants to tell you, he doesn't. He's won 6 Super Bowls. He left New England and told Bill Belichick, I'm going to prove you wrong. I am the guy. You're not the guy. I am. I'm the reason we won 6 championships. And what do you know? He leaves his first year on a new team during the Super Bowl. What a surprise. Even if Brady loses, even if he can't compete against Mahomes on Sunday, still the GOAT in my book. Nothing changes, really. But see, here's the thing. If Pat Mahomes can't win, if he loses to Brady on a new team at 43 years old, Can't be the GOAT. Tell me I'm wrong. He can't. The Chiefs have, without question, the most explosive offense in football. Great head coach. Great quarterback. Three different running backs averaging 4 yards a carry. Best wide receiver. Fastest wide receiver. They've got all of it. If they can't beat Tom Brady and Tampa, how's that going to look for Pat Mahomes' legacy? You could make the argument, oh, he's only 25, he's inexperienced, he'll get there eventually. The difference is he's already won a Super Bowl. He's been there and done that already. And if you remember last year, he wasn't really that good. I hate to say it. He didn't turn it on until about end of the third quarter. That was it. He didn't have the best game of his career. But because the Niners collapsed and Jimmy Garoppolo's a horrible quarterback, he won. I'm telling you right now, this may not be talked about enough, but it's definitely true. One quarterback has nothing to lose. Tom Brady. At all. If he loses, who cares? Already the GOAT, already has 6 Super Bowls, went to a new team, led them to the Super Bowl, he's fine. If Pat Mahomes loses, well, we have to start wondering, will he ever match Tom Brady? When people look back on Mahomes and Brady and make the comparisons 20 or 30 years from now, the one thing that'll differentiate them is, oh, Mahomes lost to Brady in the Super Bowl when Brady was on a new team. He's not the GOAT. See what I mean? There's a lot at stake here for Pat Mahomes, for his legacy. There's a lot at stake here for the Chiefs. Can they repeat? Can they beat Tom Brady? We're going to have to see how it plays out. But I'll say this much. Mahomes has a lot more to play for than you think. Their offense is definitely better than Tampa. Without question. More weapons, more quality players, better coach. We know. So what's going to be the differentiator in this game? What's going to make the biggest difference? That's right, the defense. Bears fans know that. The defense. And here's the best part. Guess who has the top rushing defense in the entire NFL? The Bucs. Guess who loves to run the football and has 3 different running backs averaging 4 yards per carry? The Chiefs. What's going to happen? If the Buccaneers can slow down Kansas City's offense, if they force them to pass the ball 50 times, let's say, it's going to be an easy win for Tampa. Remember, Pat Mahomes is interception prone. Take shots downfield. He can't throw a pick. He threw 3 in 1 game this year. And if everybody knows the pass is coming, what do you expect to happen? What do you think is going to happen? If everyone knows it's coming. If the run game can't even get started. If Allaire, the rookie, can't do anything. It's going to be an easy win for Tampa. Now, in Tampa's case, the one thing that could hold them back is, believe it or not, Tom Brady, and here's why. Brady throws a lot of picks, more than he did before. He threw 3 against Green Bay and still won. What does that tell you? In the Super Bowl, there's no room for error. You can't be throwing 3, 4, 5 picks and expect to come out on top. He needs to be a bit more conservative. He needs to realize that his defense has got his back. And please, Tampa, if you're somehow watching, run the football. Please do it. Ronald Jones is averaging 5 yards a carry. The rookie finished just short of 1,000 yards. Leonard Fournette's still there, too. averaged right around 4. Great run offense. Brady succeeds when he has a running back with him. When he has a guy who, you know, could run for 4 yards on a whim. The Bucs have that. That'll make a difference. The Buccaneers, in my opinion, have a much larger and wider path to victory than Kansas City. Here's why. Better defense. Best rush defense in football. 5 yard per carry rusher. And a guy behind him in Leonard Fournette, who's a 1,000-yard rusher before, then Tom Brady. And the receiving core that he throws to. Brock, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Godwin. My goodness. Talk about weapons. I would argue Tampa is a more complete team than Kansas City. I don't care about the fact that KC is the reigning champs. They have Pat Mahomes. It makes a difference when your defense is top one. They're the first rush defense in the NFL. And they have 4 legitimate wide receivers. Plus a running back running for 5 yards a carry. They are more complete. Like it or not, they are. And if Tampa plugs up the run game for Kansas City, Mahomes will have to pass all day to win. Not saying it's impossible. But I am saying that if the Tampa defense knows it's coming all day long, what do you think's going to happen? Mahomes can throw picks, take shots downfield. I wouldn't be surprised if he threw 1 or 2 on Sunday. He threw 3 in a game already. This isn't going to be easy for the Chiefs. And as I said to open up this show, who has more to play for? It's not Brady. Brady could retire today. He'd be the GOAT. Who cares? It's Mahomes. Because Mahomes, 30 years from now, when they're comparing Brady and Mahomes, who's the GOAT? I don't know. They're going to point to this game. They're going to say, well, Mahomes couldn't beat him in the Super Bowl, despite him being on a new team away from the New England dynasty. That's going to be the issue. That's going to be the big problem for Pat Mahomes. I firmly believe Tampa is going to win this game. Think about this, too. This is the first time in Super Bowl history that a team is playing at their home stadium. 25,000 people will be there. You're going to tell me that won't make a difference? And I know right now Vegas says KC's a 3-point favorite. Don't worry about that. Are you in your right mind going to bet against Tom Brady again in his home stadium in the Super Bowl? Give me a break. Do I want it to happen? Do I want Brady to win again? No, of course not. As it is, I don't like this matchup. It's too reminiscent of the Cavaliers and the Warriors. It's too reminiscent of the NBA. Reminds me too much of it. That said, if I'm going to pick objectively who's going to win, how could you not go with Tom Brady? Why in your right mind would you pick against him in the Super Bowl? Oh, Pat Mahomes has a bigger arm. Oh, I love Pat Mahomes. Brady proved to everybody this year that he's not done. He did. You know, a couple of years ago, I thought he was done. Threw a bit too many picks. Didn't throw enough touchdowns. Had nothing around him, to be fair, but still, I thought it was over. This year proved to me that it's far from over for him. 40 touchdowns at 43 years old. More touchdowns than Pat Mahomes. He's not some old washed-up veteran. It's not like it's Trent Dilfer in the Super Bowl, Rich Gannon in the Super Bowl. No, it's Tom Brady, who's slinging the ball and has weapons around him and has a good run game and has a great defense. What do you think's going to happen? How do you think it's going to go down? Look, Mahomes and the Chiefs, they'll have many more opportunities to win more Super Bowls. They will. He's 25, long way to go. Tom Brady, not so much. 43, I could see him playing maybe two or three more years. Maybe. I think this is his time to win again. I really do. I mean, logically speaking, when you compare both teams, you could see Tampa's better. You could also see Brady isn't old or washed up yet. That's what scares me. That's what should scare people who think the Chiefs are going to win. Not old, not washed up, not done. He wants to prove to everybody that he was the one. He was the reason New England won all those Super Bowls. Not Adam Vinatieri. Not the defense, the run game, Bill Belichick. No, Tom Brady. That's why. And he has nothing to lose. Tom Brady has nothing to lose. Pat Mahomes, I would argue his legacy is on the line on Sunday. If he loses to the GOAT, how could he become the GOAT? Serious question. If he loses to the GOAT Tom Brady in the Super Bowl on a different team, how could he ever become the GOAT? How does that happen? It's a big question. So as for my pick, yeah, I'm picking Tampa. They're going to win. I will say this, though. They are not hitting the over in this game. No chance they go over 56.5 points. It'd be different if Tampa's defense was what it was 2 years ago, or they let Mitch Trubisky throw for 6 touchdowns. But it's not. It's great. Great defense. On top of what they already have offensively. It's going to be a close game. My final score, 24-17. Tampa will win. Tom Brady wins Super Bowl number 7. And Pat Mahomes takes a big hit when it comes to him ever being in the GOAT discussion. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Troy Macker comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $250 free dollars to bet on any game you want, including the Super Bowl? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. You must be 21 plus. You must be an Illinois resident. You can bet $250 free dollars on any game you want for this upcoming weekend. Super Bowl, NBA, college basketball. This is, without question, the best time to put down some money and win a whole lot more back. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with John Zagluel, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the senior content manager at Rush Street Interactive and the Bent River Sportsbook. Please welcome Troy Macker to the program. Troy, it's great to have you on. How are you?
It's great to be on. I'm doing great. Just excited for the big game coming up. And, you know, college basketball in February is a really fun time to be a sports fan.
What was your reaction to this year's Super Bowl matchup?
I think it's what the NFL wants the common fan to have. I think anytime you get Tom Brady in a Super Bowl is good for business. The fan in me does not want to see Tom Brady anymore, but that's also why he's become a great villain. And you have a great hero, great villain. There's plenty of storylines. This is a matchup that, you know, a lot of outlets would predict at the beginning of the season. And in sports, that typically isn't how it happens. Just because, you know, that's why we watch sports. You can't script it, but this has been scripted pretty well. So I'm excited. But at the same time, I don't know how the game's going to play out, because when you get these well-hyped matchups, the big matchups, the big games rarely live up to the expectations. And the Super Bowl has been spotty the last 5 or 10 years in terms of excitement down the stretch. So, but to be fair, I'm very intrigued, which is a good emotion to have heading into the biggest sporting event in North America.
Were you expecting this type of season from Brady?
Yes, maybe not. You know, it's tough to say. Like, I would think Tom Brady would lead a team to the Super Bowl in his first year in a new team after spending his entire career in another system. But they had the types of players that work well with him. They had a very good defense. And, you know, how many other quarterbacks would you rather give the ball to in a playoff game? Zero, I think, is the answer. And that's what he did. He won playoff games. So I expected something like this. I just did not expect the outcome to be him playing in another Super Bowl. I figured they would lose in probably the divisional round or the conference championship. But here we are. Tom Brady is in his, I believe, he is playing for his 8th Super Bowl, 7th Super Bowl. He's played in 18% of all Super Bowls ever played. That's crazy.
Troy Macker here on Sports Talk Chicago. Troy, what's your take on the line for this weekend?
I think it's pretty true. It's right now at 3. It opened at 3.5. You'll probably get it somewhere between 3 and 3.5 in favor of the Chiefs. I think that's about right. Two evenly matched teams that are both, they play in aggressive ebbs and flows. You know, the Bucs have found themselves in huge holes early on in the game, as have the Chiefs. The Chiefs have also blown out teams in the first half and had to hang on. So I think the line is where it should be. But there are a lot of different ways this game could go. I hope it's just, you know, nip and tuck the whole way. But I could see this game, you know, being a 9 to 12 point lead for one of the teams at some point. I mean, obviously, we've seen Brady do it in the Super Bowl before, much to the chagrin of the Atlanta Falcons. But I think the game will end up in and around 3 points.
Are you at all surprised Tampa's the underdog? I mean, they're playing at home, and we know what Brady's capable of, especially in the Super Bowl. Is that something you were a bit shocked by?
It would be hard for me to see, even at home, the Bucs as a favorite. Maybe a pick 'em, but the Chiefs on paper are exceptional, and they have the best player in the NFL, and they have the fastest wide receiver in the NFL, and they have the best offense for what their coach does. You know, it's 3. I would be fine with anything in and around 1 to 3 in favor of the Chiefs. I think it would be really hard to not make them the favorites. And I wonder how much home field is going into this, because there's just so much hype and buzz, even without, you know, a lot of media there, that this is a distraction week, regardless of if we're playing at home or not. And the Chiefs have done this before. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. So I'm not overly surprised. And I think it's the way it should be.
Well, they hit the over in this game, do you think?
Oof, so very, very good question. I don't think so.
Really?
I enjoy playing the unders more than the overs. This year you would have been right around 500. I think it's going to be, I think one team is going to race out to a lead, and then they're going to slow down and the other team is going to catch up. I think if I had to bet, this is probably going to settle around 53, 54, which is very close to 56.5. And all that is one field goal. So, you know, I think the lines are pretty true.
What's the most lucrative prop bet out there right now that you've seen?
The one I like the most is Tyreek Hill MVP plus 1300. Again, with your futures, you're going to end up getting your most value for your money. And yes, the quarterbacks are more than likely to win the MVP. But if, you know, how frequent is it that a quarterback wins back-to-back MVPs in the Super Bowl? It doesn't happen very often. You're more than likely the second go around, unless Patrick Mahomes has, you know, a pristine, perfect performance. Where they shine is with the explosive plays, and all Tyreek Hill needs is 2 explosive plays and a couple catches to pad the stats a little bit. And I think it's possible that he wins the MVP, or Travis Kelce at plus 1200. Again, that whatever the Chiefs offense does, it's going to go through them. And they're not just the steady hands, but also the big playmakers. So that's where you can get a lot of money, is if you think the Chiefs are going to win, and you could catch them on money line, you know, like minus 162, I believe, right now, you may want to, you know, go with a plus money MVP bet, whether it's Mahomes at plus 100, which is not great value, but it's better than thinking the Chiefs will win.
Who do you think's going to win?
So I'm torn because I think it's the Chiefs, but, and I very much like rooting against Tom Brady, but I'm also seeing this far too many times to bet against Tom Brady. I'll, you know, it's one of those where it's like, I'll take the loss if he loses, but looking back, you don't want to be the guy who says, really, I thought this guy would lose again in the Super Bowl. And it's like, but Patrick Mahomes is on the other side and he's the best player in the NFL. So it's close. I probably have to go with Tom Brady, even though I do not want the Buccaneers to win. I'm very much in favor of the Chiefs. Andy Reid is a lovely person who I hope wins as many Super Bowls as he can. But it's just really hard for me not to invest in the guy who's done it more than anyone else.
Troy Macker here on Sports Talk Chicago. Troy, what's your evaluation of the Washington football team in 2020?
That good down the stretch. Great building blocks on defense. Still several players away on offense. But, you know, how much better is the rest of the NFC East division going to be in 2021? And I think you saw the emergence of a truly elite defensive player, not just a great defensive player, but one of the greats of his generation or his, you know, draft class era. In Chase Young, he was an absolute monster. He led to offense, you know, with fumble recoveries, interceptions, and scored a touchdown. You know, I think Washington did as good as they possibly could have given what they had on offense. A down year from Terry McLaurin, in my opinion, it banged up backfield of new faces and undersized speed guys. Obviously, just the new head coach, and then the quarterback position, which was an absolute disaster. But got steady hands at the end and got one of the great, you know, unsung out of nowhere playoff performances from Taylor Heineke. I mean, as any fan of Washington football team, you're upset you lose that game, but the playoff game you lose to is for the team playing in the Super Bowl against the greatest quarterback of all time. And you got a better than anything you could have ever expected from your quarterback who you've never seen play. So when you walk away from that game, you're upset, but you're like, you know what? I just got the best football game of the season. I didn't think the team was going to win anyways. So it a great way for that season to end, given what took place during the season with Haskins being benched and then, you know, asked to leave, all sorts of things. And actually one fun little positive I took away is that they had been searching for the last 2 years to really find an elite tight end. And they had Jordan Reed for such a long time. And he was fringe elite, but could never stay healthy and never had a consistent quarterback throwing him the ball. Finding Logan Thomas for what they did, he is of that, you know, ideal tight end size. He can run over the middle. He's got great frame. He was a quarterback, so he has a very good high IQ. You got him for cheap. I don't know if he's elite, but he's fringe great at the tight end position right now and is a steal and something that team needs so they don't have to invest lots of money or lots of picks in skill positions where they've had not that great success recently. So I think they're on the up and up overall, which is I think good. But, you know, wait and see because they don't have a quarterback.
How'd they win the division with four different quarterbacks? Like, that blows my mind.
It's unbelievable. But I think, you know, we have seen things in NFL past that it's, you know, offense, you need quarterbacks are the most important position in all of football. But if your defense is very, very good and makes turnovers, you can hang around. You know, we saw it with, you know, Bears teams of the past and obviously the Ravens team of the early 2000s, obviously Super Bowl teams, but you can patch stuff together, especially when your quarterbacks aren't turning the ball over a lot. Haskins was an issue, but Alex Smith was a game manager's game manager, and Taylor Heineke did the same thing, and you got the same from Kyle Allen. So, you know, I think the defense was everything, and their defense is very, very good and very, very young, very, very scary, and most importantly, that division was a disaster. If they had to play the AFC North, they would have won but three games.
Who should they be targeting at the quarterback position for next year?
That is a great question. I am of the mindset that you go through the draft. for a quarterback. But do they dare trade up to draft Justin Fields to have another Ohio State quarterback with a high draft pick? You know, that's something that they'll never hear the end of. But ultimately, Justin Fields and Dwayne Haskins are entirely different players. And I think Justin Fields is a great quarterback. You know, they missed out on Stafford, but it didn't seem like Matthew Stafford was ever coming to Washington. There are definite options. And they have some assets to trade in terms of draft picks, not a ton. You know, the funny one that people are saying is some sort of deal to bring Kirk Cousins back to Washington. Because it looks like he is on his way out of Minnesota. And while Kirk Cousins was a lovely guy and a very good quarterback, I don't know if that would work well. So there are options going forward, but I don't think they have any real established strategy right now on what they're doing. But I think that's because there are enough quarterbacks in the marketplace. Obviously, Deshaun Watson is the top target. But do you give up that much for Deshaun Watson? I don't know. I don't know, other than Patrick Mahomes, how much I would give up for any player in the NFL, because you just have to keep building. You have to keep building every year, invest smartly with your draft picks. So every time there's an injury or someone gets disgruntled and holds out, you are preparing for the future. I think even great teams need to prepare for the future. So I'm not a big fan of trading away tons of draft picks.
Do you see Taylor Heinicke maybe making a comeback and starting next year?
I wouldn't mind it for the first game, because I think he's, you know, anytime you do something no one expected and you're kind of the underdog, I think you earn another go at it. Maybe not the entire starting job, but that guy should be in camp. I think there are too many options available in the next month, coming months, in terms of free agents and potential trades and the quarterback in this draft class for them to stick with Taylor Heinicke. But again, he could never play for Washington again. And he has cemented himself in the pages of Washington history books with that performance and that third down dive to the end zone that kept the game within one score and gave him a shot at the end.
Let me ask you this, Troy. If they figure out the quarterback position, do they become instant Super Bowl contenders?
They got to lock up Brandon Scherff, because he is, well, you know, on the right side of the offensive line, he is an elite offensive lineman. They probably are still one wide receiver away. Terry McLaurin is great, but he really needs to develop a rapport with whoever the next quarterback is. I think they're an absolute playoff contender and a division championship contender. Super Bowl, it's tough, because you really have to have that organizational culture of just, yep, we're good, we're always good, even keeled all the time. And we just haven't seen that from this organization. However, Ron Rivera is the type of coach who brings that. There was a lot going on in Carolina when he was there, dealing just with Cam Newton and the amount of media attention. And that organization was always very level and even keeled. So I think the stability of the organization is the most important thing. But talent-wise, they're very close to being contenders for playoffs. But at the same time, in the NFL, all it takes is one injury. All it takes is one weird thing to happen, and the trajectory of your entire team has changed.
More to come with Troy Macker in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Troy Macker, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Troy, two more questions before we finish up. First off, the most regrettable bet that you've made is what?
That would be, I think what year was it? It was 2013 NCAA tournament. I was covering college basketball for Sporting News. I was dialed into all of national college hoops. I watched, multiple games a night, and I was all over the University of Missouri basketball team. I thought they had seven of the best players in the country. They won the Big 12 tournament, beating Kansas in the finals. They had just players across the board. They had coaching, size, athleticism, talent, leadership, experience. And I put a decent bet on them to make the Final Four. And they were summarily bounced in the first round by Norfolk State, a team that before the tournament I loved. I watched play and I was like, I think this team can win the game. But when they matched up with Missouri, I still was unwavering in my support of Missouri because they were just exceptional. And I barely got out of the starting box. That game was over at halftime. And that's the worst, where you bet on a futures that just falls flat immediately and there's no hope. Because at least if you're hanging on by a thread, it's fun. You got skin in the game. But to be shot down immediately, it's especially a team you were so confident on. And even in December, I was thinking, this is a Final Four team. I know this is a Final Four team, which is one of the great problems with the NCAA tournament. You know, like right now, Gonzaga and Baylor should just play in the national championship game. But what are the chances that those two teams actually make it there? That's why we love the tournament so much.
And Troy, before we finish up today, last question, what's the most memorable college basketball game you've covered?
The most memorable college basketball game I've ever covered. There've been a good bit, and I feel like I've talked about one in the past, so I'll have to go. What? Actually, it was Maryland's final home game against Duke. And let's also call it 2013. Maryland was going to the Big Ten the next year. Duke was the number one team in the country. At the time, Mason Plumlee was probably, I think it was Mason Plumlee. It could be Miles Plumlee. Trying to remember all the Plumlees is not easy. But he was the front runner for National Player of the Year. Maryland and Duke, while not UNC and Duke, Maryland hates Duke. Duke is Maryland's rivals, whether or not Duke thinks that Maryland are their rivals. And College Park is a hostile environment to play. And the Comcast Center is one of the best venues in the country. It is the way they've created that student section. It's just like a wall on both ends of the court. And it is loud and just it's an intense, hostile place to play. And it was the last time these two teams were playing each other. I think they played in a Big Ten ACC Challenge since, but it might've been on a neutral court. And it was one of those games that was just electric from the start. And I think Maryland ended up winning by 6. There were all sorts of momentum plays where a team was down 5 and 45 seconds later, they were up 4 because of a block, a steal, a three-pointer, a steal, a three-pointer, and then a dunk, and the other team has to call timeout. It was just like the momentum and the ebbs and flows of the game was just so incredible. And the crowd was so in it. Every famous person in Maryland, sports history was there. It was such a fun game to be at. And, it went down to the final 50 seconds of Duke having a chance to win the game. I've had the chance to cover so many awesome games that, like, if I sat back and thought of it, there's probably another random one from a small conference in the Northeast or something. But that's why college basketball is so much fun, because it seems like every game really matters to the people who are there, even though if it's only just one of 33. But to have a small packed environment and watching teens, kids play with everything on the line, it just makes the intensity of the game so much more fun and exciting.
Well, Troy, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure, and best wishes to you as the Super Bowl comes up, especially with all the sports betting stuff going on. Really appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Great talk there with Troy Macker, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Troy Macker himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalb, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Until then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Where are the turtles?